During the summer, I love to keep Fiji water on hand to keep me and my family hydrated and refreshed. It really is sourced from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji water collects in a sustainable ancient aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. As the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium water bottle brands, giving Fiji water its soft, smooth taste. Unlike some other premium bottled waters, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring, and this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7. Fiji water really is Earth's finest water, and since 2022, its 330-milliliter and 500-milliliter bottles have been produced in 100% recycled plastic, so you can feel proud of your choice in bottled water. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up today for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office. It's not just water, it's Fiji water.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dress, The History of Fashion, is a production of Dress Media. With over 8 billion people in the world, we all have one thing in common. Every day, we all get dressed.
Welcome to Dressed, The History of Fashion, a podcast that explores the who, what, when of why we wear. We are fashion historians and your hosts, Cassidy Zachary
and April Callahan. And these two hosts are heading to Paris.
Yes, we are. Come get dressed with us in Paris, dress listeners. We are so excited to finally announce and open up registration for our fall fashion history tour of Paris, September 28th through October 5th, 2024. You have all been waiting so patiently. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes. And this is now our fifth incarnation of this trip. So we have been doing it for years now. We've figured out lots of things, little shortcuts about getting around the city, and lots of cool places to recommend to you guys that we aren't even going to include on the trip. We've refined the trip. We've added some new activities to this year's trip that we have never done before. And again, those dates are September 28th through October 5th. So actually, we're going to use our mini-sode today to kind of walk you through the trip. And also, too, if you guys can't join us this year, maybe you can pick up some recommendations here about things to do next time you're in Paris. But of course, we would love it if you would join us and all of our other travelers as well.
Yeah, and absolutely. I will just say, if you cannot join us in Paris, because not everyone can, of course, then use this episode as inspiration for your own future fashion history journeys or so many of the things we talk about today. And we're hoping to just inspire you to learn more about this world fashion capital. So please stay with us and listen in as we take you on our magical Parisian fashion history adventures. And just a couple notes about what to expect if you do join us. One of the things that April and I do all day, every day, if you're on this tour, is we tell you little tidbits about fashion history wherever we go, be it the auction house or the, you know, Yves Saint Laurent Museum. We're going to give you fashion history all day, every day. And then we also have so much behind the scenes, as we love to say, private access, thanks to the many friends that we've made in Paris. And then another reason to go is that you are going to make lifelong fashion friends. So many people who have joined these tours, we stay in touch with so many of them, and it's just so heartwarming to see how these relationships were formed and continue to thrive around this shared passion for fashion history. And meeting your fellow guests, dress listeners, all begins with our welcome cocktail party on day one of our Paris fashion history trip, where we all meet, have some bites, have some champagne, and get to know each other.
Yes. And then after a good night's sleep, because let's face it, some of us are jet lagged after that first evening getting there, we are going to start this year's trip off with a bang. The very first thing that we're doing out of the gate is we are visiting the private home, the 19th century mansion of the courtesan La Païva, whose real name was Esther Lachman. But we'll go into that whole history about her when we're there with you all. But one of the reasons why this is so special, aside from the fact that this home is spectacular, is the fact that it's not open to the public. It has been a men's only private club for
over a century. The irony of this, by the way.
I know. For over a century at this point. So getting entree into this mansion is very, very difficult, but we have figured this out for you guys. So please, please come join us. The home, again, is spectacular. You know, she had three taps in her marble and silver bathtubs. One was for water, one was for milk, and the other one was for champagne, which she bathed in. The marble carved mantelpieces in the home all have ice troughs carved into the mantle. So that's where all the champagne went. Not to mention that in the home, there is this amazing yellow onyx, Algerian onyx staircase that's carved. It's believed to be the only one in the entire world. And I knew about how special this was, but I did not know, Cass, until we were there, that this spiral staircase that goes all the way up two floors was actually carved in situ. And it yes. was all in one piece. And when you know this and you're standing there, that was one of the most mind-blowing things about the trip that we did last year is figuring that out or finding that out.
Yeah, that was a new addition that will definitely be continuing on all of our tours. But we added that for the first time last year. And we learned a lot of that information that April just spoke to because we do get a guided tour of this mm-hmm. palace or mansion. And it's just really incredible. She basically built this homage to herself. There's beautiful yes. naked women carved in to the walls and on the ceilings. And when I said the irony of it being a men's club, that's what I mean, because a men's only club in this palace that this woman built to herself and her grandeur and her success is a little ironic. But also something we learned on that tour too was that she was an haute couture client. So she was one of mm-hmm. Charles Frederick Worth's very, very good clients. And yes. so, yeah, that was just a really, really special addition and such a spectacular way to start our trip. And from yes. there, we are going to be heading to the world's largest flea market and one of the oldest in the world, the Pousse. We actually start that tour in front of Chez Sarah, which is a very high-end vintage boutique that is the destination of many world-famous stylists, et cetera, et cetera. They have this A to Z collection of high-end fashion designers, vintage. So you can expect everyone from Azzedine Alaïa to Coco Chanel to Yves Saint Laurent, right?
And you can pick them up and touch them. These are museum quality pieces.
It's yeah. And that's on one side. And then the other side is non-designer vintage. But I got a really, really spectacular black printed skirt there one year. Other people have picked up pieces. Some people just spend the whole time there. But from there, we do move into the market, which is huge. But we actually do give you some very specific shops to check out, including various purveyors of hand-painted fashion plates or hand-stenciled fashion plates, which you listeners mm-hmm. know April and I wrote a book about. Pochoir, you can get your hands on any number of Pochoir fashion plates, from Georges Barbier to Georges Le Pape, from Journal des Dames de la Mode, Gazette de Bon Ton.
Vintage fashion magazines, like, you name it, it is at Le Pousse. And well, I'm just going to say this. It is the finest flea market shopping I've ever seen in my entire life. And I grew up doing this. And the prices are not insane yes. either.
Yeah. And if yeah. you are going to Paris, not with us, you should definitely book a tour with someone we are going to mention later in the podcast today. But Rebecca Devaney, who you've heard us say before, she actually does private tours of the flea market. So she will take you to some of these little purveyors and introduce you to the shopkeepers and give you the histories. So yeah, really, we hope you'd use today's episode as a guide and inspiration.
Yeah. And I just want to also mention, if you're going not with us, it is best to go on the weekend. That's because a vast majority of the purveyors are only open on the weekend. Some of the high-end antique dealers are open during the week, but by and large, Le Pousse is only open on the weekend. Just tuck that away in your head.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So day three, our next day of the trip, we're going to start off the day with one of my favorite museum experiences in Paris. We're going to visit the Fondation Alaïa. And of course, that is named after Azzedine Alaïa, the Tunisian-born darling of the Paris fashion world. And there at his foundation, it's essentially kind of like a museum. They hold examples of his work that are on display, as well as his own private collection of fashion history, because he was a massive collector. And a lot of times the Alaïa pieces are put in dialogue with really beautiful pieces from fashion history. Sometimes the Alaïa pieces are paired with fashion photography. There's always these really interesting exhibitions happening there.
Oh,
and something new that was last year, Cass, they also opened up a new kind of little vitrine area where you can see into what was Alaïa's working studio, which has been left
preserved from the day he died, is my understanding, is they just covered it up the day he died and left it. And then it was open. I think he died in something like 2018. And then they just barely reopened it to the public. And so you get a look in there and see, which was really, really special.
Yeah. And I just love the fact that we've been to a lot of these places many times, but we show up and there's something new.
Awesome. And last time we were there, there was an incredible exhibition, always is. But if you are not familiar with Alaïa's work, I mean, we really do need to do an episode on him. We need to do an episode on a lot of different designers, but Alaïa especially, because he was a sculptor in fabric. And I mean, not just in knit, but also leather. If you've never seen his draped leather, you know, leather you think is so hard, but he makes it this supple, malleable fabric. And some of his draped leathers were on view last time, which was just incredible, as well as one of those like bodycon dresses. I think it was the actual dress worn by Grace Jones with that hooded cape and that long purple. It was like a 7-foot mannequin is how it appeared to me. But that was really, really fun. And every time we go, it's something different, which is just always so special.
Oh, and I also want to mention that the Fondation Alaïa has one of the best fashion bookshops
yes.
in all of Paris. And it is dedicated exclusively to fashion. So trust me, you're going to find something that you want to take home with you when you wander in there.
Yeah. And then from there, we're headed to the Drouot Auction House, which was founded in 1852. It has 18 sales rooms in operation on site in Paris with an additional 75 other auction house partners elsewhere. And it holds 1,300 auctions per year. So they have everything from paintings, furniture, and other arts from every century, every value. And of course, they have fashion, textiles, and jewelry, which is really fun. And so it's been formal. You just go in there and observe an auction. You can go in there. They have upcoming auctions exhibited so you can see if there's pieces you want and you can go back and bid for them or bid for them online. We actually had some people bidding for stuff last year, which was fun. But it's just a really cool experience if you've never been to an auction. And I'd actually never heard of it, April. This is something that you introduced us to.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because I have my appraiser certification. So I kind
of
mucks about in the auction world sometimes. But I think a lot of people get really intimidated when they think of going to an auction house. And Drouot is the perfect introduction. There's no reason to be intimidated, even to go into Christie's or Sotheby's. So when they do these big auctions, almost always the pieces that are being auctioned are on preview, right? They want you to come in and look around. And it's a really interesting way to just also give yourself a little bit of an art or furniture or jewelry education without going to a museum. Because this is a different sort of experience where you're a little more up close and personal with these objects. So it's always free. You can go into these places free and look at all the art and they're happy to have you there. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then this next thing I'm going to mention, I just want to say a caveat in that we are not officially confirmed here, but we are on our way to being confirmed here.
This is true.
But if you join us, and this is an exclusive thing that cannot actually happen if you go on your own to Paris, we are going to be going to visit the Atelier Carousseau, which is a made-to-measure atelier that creates exceptional garments for the haute couture industry and film and television alike. So they did costumes, for instance, most recently for Apple TV's The New Look, which had recreations of works by Christian Dior and Coco Chanel. And they have invited us into their workrooms. And so we're going to be getting to see this kind of behind the scenes, hands-on process of what goes into the making of some of our favorite historical period pieces. So that's really, really exciting.
Yes. And actually, you know what? Cash, you know this already, but I actually hung out with the director and the writer of the new look, Todd Kessler, the other night at my friend's birthday party because we have a mutual friend.
As one does, or as April does.
We were gossiping about fashion history in the corner. Everyone was like, oh my God, okay, you too. But anyway, he has agreed to come on the podcast and I just need to reach out to him. But he and hopefully the costume designer for the new look will also be on in tandem, and we'll just be talking about the production and also, you know, what it was to research and write about that period of history. And one thing that he said to me that I thought was really interesting, he's like, you know, this is about fashion history, but this is really just history. Some people have criticized the show that there's not enough fashion in it yet. He's like, we're not to that point of the story yet.
Yes, because this is pre-Christian Dior, right? This is pre the quote-unquote new look collection of 1947. It's set in World War II. So a more accurate description, or I think reference, would be the Miss Dior book that we've had Justine Picardy on, who wrote the biography on Christian Dior's sister, Catherine Dior, mm-hmm. who was a French resistance fighter and who was captured by the Nazis and spent a year in a concentration camp. A true story. And she wrote an incredible biography, which of course you've heard us talk about on the show. And she is a character, a big character in this in this film
and or in this TV show. Played by Maisie Williams of Game of Thrones
fame. Yes. So, and then obviously I also appreciate the show, although I will admit I have not watched it yet, but it would appear to me that they address Chanel's Nazi affiliations.
Oh, it's like a major plot point. Like it's a huge,
huge, good thing. Good.
Funnily enough, actually, I'm going to be talking about this in our fashion history class this week on Saturday. We're talking about Chanel. So, okay. So day four, we're now moving on to a whole new day of the trip. And we're also going to start that one out with something that is unique, special, and that you can only do on our tour with us, is we're going to take you all on a walking tour of the Rue de la Paix, which is, of course, the former home of the haute couture industry during the 19th century. It still exists. Some of those original businesses are still in their original locations, but this is a tour that Cass and I developed back in 2021, and it's only offered when you come on this trip with us. Much to the dismay of Parisians who stop us on the street asking when they can join us.
Yes. So we see the former home of Maison Worth, Doucet, Paquin, Schiaparelli, which is actually still there, but around the corner. Cartier is still in its original location. Mm-hmm. And then I will say this, though, if you do go without us, you can take us with you because we have done a Rue de la Paix past dress episode. So if you are traveling on the Rue de la Paix in Paris in your upcoming adventures, just click on that podcast episode and we will accompany you.
Yeah. One day we hope to turn this into actually like an audio walking tour that you guys can just download. That's coming soon when we get caught up a little bit.
Yeah, that actually is on our docket for this year. Our goal is to get some of these walking tours, not just of the Rue de la Paix, but other fashionable streets around the world, as well as fashions in museum collections. So if that is something you are interested in, if there's a particular museum you want to see us do that at, please write to us and let us know, because this is actually something we really, really want to do, because there's so much fashion history to be discovered in any museum around the world, not just fashion, or not just one dedicated exclusively to fashion. As indicated by April Callahan's Met Fashion History Tours.
Yes, every week, 6:30. On Fridays, you guys can join. I'm starting to add new pieces to the tour, too. And after I'm done teaching this class, I'm going to start developing some kind of specialty-themed tours as well. But on this week's tour, I'm going to add one new painting by Elizabeth Vigée Le Brun.
So. Ooh, very cool.
Yeah. Dress listeners, whatever your reason for wanting to learn a new language, whether it's an upcoming international adventure, communicating with your friends and family abroad, or even professional purposes, Rosetta Stone has got you covered.
As the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years now, you can join millions of Rosetta Stone users to learn any of the 25 languages offered. That includes Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and so many more.
And this is fast language acquisition, friends. There are no English translations, so you learn to speak, listen, and think in your new language. And right now, you can get lifetime access to all 25 of Rosetta Stone's language courses for 50% off. That's language learning for 25 languages for the rest of your life, which, Cass, is frankly amazing.
It is. And what are you waiting for, Dress listeners? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Dress listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Dress listeners, did you know that you can save on everything from fashion to beauty, home decor to groceries, even kids' school supplies with Rakuten?
Rakuten is a shopping platform that partners with over 3,500 stores across every category. Beauty, clothing, electronics, home, department stores, pets, you name it. You're already shopping at your favorite stores, so why not be saving while doing it? It really is a no-brainer.
How does it work, you ask? Well, stores pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members. You get paid via a check or PayPal quarterly.
Membership is free and it's easy to sign up. So join the 17 million members who have already saved at their favorite brands. Start all your shopping at Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app to start saving today. Your cash back really adds up. That's Rakuten.com. Dress listeners, are you not feeling like yourself these days? Do you suspect it might be related to some of the hormonal changes all women experience? Well, then Hormone Harmony is here for you. Hormone Harmony capsules contain science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows.
So whether you find yourself in menopause, perimenopause, or simply experiencing racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time, or even a low sex drive, Hormone Harmony is here to get you feeling like yourself again.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DRESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DRESSED for 15% off today.
Following our Rue de la Paix tour is another exclusive textile tour. Well, not exclusive to Dress, but exclusive as in private. Textile tour with Rebecca Devaney, who I, of course, have mentioned. Rebecca runs the Textile Tours of Paris, which is an incredible company with so many fashion history offerings. But she's going to lead us on a 3-hour tour of Paris's famed merceries, which are the shops where the highest quality ribbons, threads, embroidery supplies, and buttons, and so much more are to be found. And some of these are in really historic establishments, which is really cool. There's hundreds of years of artisanal making behind these purveyors. And even if you're not interested in shopping, Rebecca is so incredibly engaging. And she takes us on a history of a lot of these types of purveyors, talking to us about historic ribbon makers, thread makers, embroiderers. So it's really a magical and special experience. It also scratches the shopping itch for those of you who want to engage.
Yes. And we should say Rebecca is an haute couture embroiderer who trained at Lesage. Her knowledge of like these techniques and these supplies and the best of the best of the best runs very, very deep. And she's an excellent storyteller as well.
So yes.
When our group first met her, because she comes back again for a second appearance on our trip, everybody was like, we get to see Rebecca again? They were so excited. So.
Yes. And yeah. So speaking of the second appearance of our trip, Rebecca actually does an optional Samplers of Seduction workshop where, again, we spend an hour with her at Overa Soie, which is a historic, one of those historic merceries that we just spoke about, who lets us in after hours to this special place. And she regales us with an hour of stories about her Samplers of Seduction kit, which is an embroidery kit that you will receive at the end of the hour to take home with you. It comes linked to an online class, and then you get to continue to learn embroidery after learning about all of the history that goes into this really special box that she's created. And again, this is something that if you can't make it on the trip, this is something I believe you can purchase online through Rebecca's Textile Tours of Paris.com.
Yeah, and this kit is the finest of those specific materials anywhere in the world. Because of what she does, she's figured out who makes the best embroidery hoops in the world. It's Overa Soie silk threads. And trust me, once you start embroidering with their silk threads, you're never going to want to use anything else. I have finished my kit and now I'm spoiled. She has sourced the finest Irish linen that's in the kit. So it's actually a luxury embroidery kit. And it's fantastic.
Yes.
Speaking of fantastic, up next on that particular day, we head over to the Musée du Parfum, which is operated by the French company Fragonard. And it's a fascinating journey through their museum. We get a private guided tour through the history of perfume making. And I didn't think I was going to learn nearly as much as I did on this tour. If you guys have heard us do our Paris recap before, we talk about some of those things that we didn't really know. I didn't know that I had been storing my perfume wrong this entire time. I didn't know that I had been applying it wrong this entire time. Also, we learn a little bit about like the hierarchies of scent, at least within French culture, that if you're not supposed to wear this type of scent to the office, you would wear it on a date. You would not wear this on a date. It's
fascinating.
Like the etiquette of perfume.
Yeah.
And then the tour actually ends, of course, in the boutique where they give us some pretty spectacular discounts. So I think almost everybody bought something when we were there, right? Whether it's soap or perfume or, you know, yeah, whatever.
It was really, really fun. So that ends our day four, or does it, April? What does the evening hold for us?
It does not end there if you don't want it to, because again, we are doing another optional offering to go to Crazy Horse. And Crazy Horse, if you guys have heard our most recent episode with Dita Von Teese, Dita spoke to us about Crazy Horse, where she was the first ever guest star, because Crazy Horse Paris is a legendary boîte de nuit, or kind of like cabaret nightclub, and where it's partially nude. And this is not the Moulin Rouge. This is a whole different animal. It's very, very classy. It's very, very sexy. Again, it's partially nude. It is high fashion. All the shoes are by Louboutin. Some of the lingerie and some of the costumes, the tiny bit of costumes that are worn, have been done by really famous couture houses and really famous lingerie designers. And it is supremely sexy. And a lot of people that have been on the trip with us before have said after the fact, they're like, that was actually one of the favorite things that they did on the entire trip, and they did not expect it to be. So it's a very small space. So you're right up close to the stage. And yeah, it's legendary in Paris. So,
and it comes with champagne, should you choose to imbibe. And yeah, we just had so much fun. It's also a really good excuse to dress up and go out. So. And then the next day, don't drink too much champagne, dress listeners, because we were spending the entire day at Versailles, which is always a highlight and a real treat of the trip. We take a private bus there. And on that bus ride, April and I actually give you a fashion history lesson about Versailles and various, you know, court etiquette and fashion etiquette. And then we arrive at that palatial, expansive home of the kings and queens of France. And we take an audio tour through the main palace and then out into those incredibly expansive gardens and back into Marie Antoinette's personal hamlet that she built for herself, which you've heard us talk about many, many times on the show, because so many people spend so much time at the palace, they don't make it back to her hamlet. And it is quite the trek, but it is so worth it. It basically is a village, a farm village that they've preserved incredibly well with all the animals and all the flowers. And it's just so lovely and so magical. And that's where April and I head almost immediately when we get to Versailles.
Yeah. And that is, of course, adjacent to Petit Trianon, which was her kind of escape from the palace, which is about, I don't know, it's like a 20-25 minute walk from the palace or so. And then the Hamlet is just off of that as well. So Petit Trianon, you can go through there as well. And there's a charming little opera house that was her own little private opera house for when putting on plays with her friends when she was at Petit Trianon. And the gardens, you all, are so beautiful. So, so, so beautiful. So yes, it's a very special day. We're all going to have a group lunch together at one of the really, really nice restaurants that's at Versailles. So yeah, it's a great day.
Yes, it's incredible. And then we go home and we start the next day, day 6, at the Yves Saint Laurent Museum. Of course, a museum entirely dedicated to this national treasure, Yves Saint Laurent. It was the home of his couture house. And the highlight of that is always for me, if you go up to the third floor, is his office has been preserved, his personal office, which is just sun-filled, and all of his fashion history books and his, you know, the way that they've set it up as to feel like he is still there. Mm-hmm. And so that's always really, really special. And last year, actually, we all got to see many of you dress listeners might be familiar with the Piet Mondrian dress. But I had no idea that there was a jacket, and the jacket was on display in his office. So that was really cool.
Yeah. And actually, somebody just wrote a book about this because there's more than one Mondrian piece. It was like several pieces. Somebody just published a book about it, and I haven't yet to get my hands on it, but I should reach out to the publisher to get us a copy, Cass. Okay. This is a really jam-packed day. We're not going to lie, because next, after the YSL Museum, we're going to kind of go around the corner-ish. And we're going to head over to the Palais Galliera, which is the city of Paris's fashion museum. And it is located in a 19th century former home. It is absolutely gorgeous. And it is entirely dedicated to fashion. So last year when we were there, we saw not one, not two, but three fashion exhibitions all at the same time. And the Galliera is actually the repository for a ton of spectacular examples of Paris haute couture. We saw dresses that Cass and I had been studying for years, but we actually got to see them in person in some of these exhibitions. So we're very, very, very much forward looking to that. And also to saying hello to two former past dressed guests, Marin Arzaluz, who is the director of the Galliera, and Alexandra Sampson, who is the curator of haute couture there as well. So yes, always a special treat to go to the Galliera. Again, a phenomenal bookshop as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then we conclude our day with a private behind-the-scenes tour of the Palais Garnier, which is the opera house of Paris. And to say this place is spectacular is an understatement. I mean, we're talking gilded ceilings. It is just alone as a feat of architecture, it's incredible. But we actually are doing a behind the scenes tour that takes us into the bowels of the opera. We go all the way down. We might even meet some fish because there is a pond down there, which for you Fan of the Opera fans might catch that reference because, of course, the Palais Garnier is the setting for the famed Phantom of the Opera book. So is there a lake down there?
Is there a phantom down there?
Yes, you will just have to join our tour to see. And then we head back up and we go actually into the costume shops of the ballet because there is a working ballet at the opera house. And these are preserved historical landmarks in Paris. So they're still preserved, at least one of the rooms with all that wood. Remember all the wood staircases and where they store a lot of the costumes. So that was really, really special and really, really cool.
Yeah, somebody might have cried last year
yes.
when they walked in there and they saw all the Swan Lake tutus hanging upside down from the ceiling. Yes, and that is an after-hours private tour. The Garnier is closed and all the other tourists are gone. So it's just us on this really, really lovely, spectacular private tour. Okay, so that's the end of that jam-packed day. And next up is our very last day in Paris. But again, we're really going to deliver for you guys because this is when we're going to Galerie Dior, which is Paris's Dior Museum. And I say this because there's also another Dior Museum in Normandy, but this is Paris's Dior Museum, which is probably, I don't know, 20 times bigger than the one that's in Normandy. I've been to both. And again, one of the most special things that we're going to do on this tour, I'm going to let Cass talk about it a little bit too, because We were both in such awe the first time that we went.
Yeah, this had just recently opened. So last year was the first year that we added it onto the tour. And so you walk up the spectacular staircase. And in the very first thing that you see is a bar suit for you fashion history nerds out there. I think we all know 1947 Dior's new look bar suit. We see a bar suit, which is in and of itself the reason to go to the Dior Museum. And then it's just room after room. You get a history of Christian Dior. And then it walks you through all of the designers that have preceded him. So from Yves Saint Laurent's brief tenure to Marc Bohan to Gianfranco Ferri to John Galliano to Raph Simons and into the present day with Maria Grazia Chiari. I hope I got everyone there. But I cannot even explain this experience to you. They have people who are making bags or perfumes. I mean, every single room, it's just, you think it could not get more spectacular, but it does. So maybe we'll just leave that there. But
yeah, and the final room that you exit through, people just sit in there for 15 or 20 minutes because what's going on in there is beautiful and very, very special. So we're not going to give that away. But yeah, on our last day, we are going to give you all the afternoon off because doubtlessly you have figured out some things that you either want to return to or some additional things that you would like to add in as well. So you'll have the afternoon off on your very last day to wrap up your Paris adventure however you would like. But then we're all going to meet for a very, very special farewell dinner that we do at one of the iconic Art Nouveau restaurants in Paris that are, it's Instagrammable moment is an understatement.
And then, yes, we say adieu until next time. Everybody exchanges numbers and Instagrams. And we will send you on your way. And that really is concluding our incredible fashion history tour. We hope that you will join us if you can. And we will say that as of now, we're only doing 1 week. This trip is, and again, just putting this out there, this trip is more expensive than it is typically because of the Olympics pushing everything out to the outskirts and jam-packing hotels.
Also, just prices in Europe right now are like,
and so we're just offering this 1 week for now. But if there is enough interest, we will add week two. And again, if you can't join us, we hope that you still enjoyed this Paris Fashion History Tour, an overview and introduction, and maybe you'll be heading to Paris yourself and you can take us with you. So thank you so much, dress listeners. And also thank you for indulging us as we share some of the dressed happenings for the year with you all.
Yes. And for more information, of course, you can head over to our website. That is dressedhistory.com. We have this full itinerary there for you as well with further details. There's price, terms and conditions. Again, the dates are September 28th through October 5th. But head over to dressedhistory.com. And on our tours page, all of this is detailed in print for you.
And of course, reach out to us with any questions you may have at hello@dressedhistory.com. And we will be posting reels that kind of highlight some of the things from the trip on our Dressed Instagram this week, Dressed_podcast.
I think that does it for us today, dress listeners. May you consider joining us at Paris next time you get dressed.
More Dressed coming your way on Wednesday.
Dressed, the History of Fashion, is a production of Dressed Media.
During the summer, I love to keep Fiji water on hand to keep me and my family hydrated and refreshed. It really is sourced from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji water collects in a sustainable ancient aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. As the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium water bottle brands, giving Fiji water its soft, smooth taste. Unlike some other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring, and this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water, and since 2022, its 330 milliliter and 500 milliliter bottles have been produced in 100% recycled plastic, so you can feel proud of your choice in bottled water. Get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up today for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office. It's not just water, it's Fiji water.